Welcome to Career Tours. This week, taking advantage of a hot market. The questions this cast answers are, what does a hot market mean? How do I take advantage of a candidate-friendly market? And should I be looking for a new job now?
Communication skills. It's one of those things that's really easy to overlook since we do it all the time. I mean, how bad can you be? You are literally practicing constantly. People seek help less often on communication, unless they know that they're struggling. To attend one of our Effective Communicator conferences, you don't have to be struggling. We help individuals of all skill levels to enhance and better their communications with others. Communication matters. Getting better at it is something we could all invest in from time to time. Register today at manager-tools.com/training to join us at an upcoming event.
Okay, we are writing this in October, or we're recording this in, it's November now, November 2018. And we try not to give timely advice. So we try not to give advice or guidance that's only relevant to the time when we release the cast. And this one is slightly timely in that it's about taking advantage of a hot market, and there is a hot market now. But all economies grow and then contract and then grow again. Nobody's ever been able to remove that cycle, despite the fact that one of the UK chancellors of the Exchequer said he would be able to. He wasn't, which is why he's no longer chancellor. And so it might not be relevant in 6 months if the economy is contracted, but it will come relevant again when the economy grows again. And so the definition of a hot market for candidates is any time where there's more jobs than candidates. Mm-hmm. It's easier if you think about housing, because that's something we all understand. So there are times when it's a seller's market. In other words, there are fewer houses than buyers, and therefore the price of houses goes up. And there are times when it's a buyer's market, where there are more houses than there are buyers, and therefore the price of housing goes down. And labor is similar in that when the economy is growing and there are more jobs than candidates, then it becomes easier to get a job because there's more of them. And companies have less choice because they have more jobs that they want to fill with fewer candidates. And there are times when it's a company market where there are fewer jobs than there are people who want to change jobs. And then salaries stagnate. They're both kind of the same. But if you are thinking about making a change, if you've been kind of on the edge about it, or you're coming up to 2.5-3 years in your current job and you're thinking, maybe I want to make a change, or you've been looking for a while, this is a really good time to kind of renew your efforts. And it might seem a bit weird to do this in November because it's Thanksgiving coming up, and then it's Christmas, and then it's New Year. And you think, nobody's going to be in the office. Why is anybody hiring this time of year? That's just weird. Because people tend to make that assumption that people won't be hiring between Thanksgiving and New Year, there are actually more opportunities for the candidates who carry on looking. And there are, you know, if you're a hiring manager, it doesn't matter that you've just been out for 2 days for Thanksgiving. You come back to your desk on Monday and you're like, oh, God, I've still got a space on my team that I need to fill. Everybody's working too hard. Now everybody wants a vacation and I can't give it to them. Actually, hiring sometimes really goes up in November and December. And it will definitely go up in January, because January is when the market is most liquid. More people want to change jobs in January than any other time of year, because everybody goes back to work and thinks, oh, God, another year of this, or new year, new me. And they start looking for new jobs. And because those people then change jobs, their jobs become vacant. And so there's a lot of churn in January, and that's good for you if you're looking. That was a really long introduction as to why this is relevant, or why these times of years are good for looking. So now we'll just tell you what you need to do next.
Right. We're going to talk about updating your resume, reconnecting with potential employers, working your network, looking for well-paying jobs, and remaining vigilant about opportunities. That's what we're going to cover today. So first, we'll start with update your resume. when we talk about hot markets and job searches, it's important to keep in mind that the economy affects all those things, that the economy is, you know, I don't often think of the economy as being part of my life, but it is, especially when we're making changes. And being a participant in the economy and not having an updated resume is like driving without a driver's license. It's not a great idea. You know that it's the first thing that you're going to be asked for when someone's interested in you and your skills, and if there's any job possibilities, it's the first thing they're going to ask for. So why wouldn't you have it ready? I mean, it's like trying to go to Mexico or somewhere without a passport.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a terrible idea. Of course, it's not a super fun, exciting task, right? It's boring and time consuming. But keeping your resume, your career management document, and resume information up to date is really important, even if you don't think you're looking for a job. Your career management document, by the way, is the document you keep for yourself, which lists all your achievements at work so that you can use those things for your resume and keep your resume updated, but also to one page. When you're ready to make your resume and prep it, you use the information on your career management document, and that material contributes to a stronger resume based on the opportunity you're looking at. And there's a cast about creating and updating a career management document on the website.
Of course. And I think one thing that people think is it's a dichotomy that there is either looking for a job or not looking for a job, right? That it's just a black and white. It's a binary choice. You're either looking or you're not. But that's not true. Or if it is true, or if that's what the way you're thinking, there's a different way to think about it. And the different way to think about it is you are always open for opportunities. Even if you've just got a job 2 weeks ago, you're still open to opportunities. And being open to opportunities means ready to talk to someone about a job at any minute. And that means having an updated resume in order to give you something to talk about. People say, oh, I'm not looking. But actually consider this. If somebody came up to you tomorrow and said, I will double your salary to come and work for me, to do the same job, same hours, same everything, but twice the salary, would you want to have that conversation? And nobody says no. It's like, oh, I can do the same thing, but be paid twice as much. I am willing to consider that. And that's what being open to opportunities means. It means being ready to listen and to have a conversation about things. Like, I don't know anyone who's ever been offered twice their salary to do something else. I know plenty of people who've been headhunted and got significant raises, but I don't know anyone who's got double. But those people who have been headhunted or sought out, those are the people who were open to opportunities, who were willing to have the conversation and then got better jobs or significant raises for doing something similar. It's not about, I don't like my current role, I don't like the people I'm working with, I don't like the company, I don't see my future here. It's not about any of those things. It's not about any of the negative things. It's about being open to the positives.
We want to just make sure that we're, you know, it's almost like availability and preparedness, right? So we just want to be prepared. And all we're really saying is, if you're thinking that those sound like good things, maybe you want to keep your resume updated. Maybe update it now, especially, right? It's a great time of year to do that because the office is a little bit slow, probably. And people are slowing down before the holidays. There's probably a couple days next week that people are working that maybe you could spend some time looking at your accomplishments and, you know, take those ideas home to work on your resume.
And if you're doing performance reviews,
yeah,
you're already looking at your accomplishments. So that kills two birds with one stone.
Absolutely. There's just no reason to be caught off guard by this, especially if you just schedule it, put it in your calendar. And this is a great time of year to be doing it. But as we said before, we're not focused on trying to make this timely. It'll be timely over and over again. But anytime during the holidays is probably a good time to think about that because of performance reviews and things getting slow and stuff like that. So we want to update our resume now and every 3 months until the market cools, which that could be any length of time, I guess, which really just means we need to list our accomplishments on our career management document and add or amend responsibilities and accomplishments as the role changes and we accomplish more. So going forward, it's an ongoing thing. It's a living document.
Right. And part of the reason making a resume is so hard is because we don't do it very often. If it's something you do every 3 months and it is a living document, it makes making a resume way easier.
Yeah, you have more practice and you haven't forgotten everything.
Right.
It's the big thing. It's so easy to forget those accomplishments. If you're doing performance stuff, if you've ever been involved in performance review stuff, you know what it's like to go back to the beginning of the year and remember something. So if you wait every couple of years, your resume is going to get stale because those accomplishments will get forgotten.
Yeah, it'll be so hard.
Yeah, it is. So we talked about updating your resume. Hopefully we've convinced you. And now it's time to consider reconnecting with potential employers. Maybe you've talked to someone formally or informally over the last year about a job and it didn't really go anywhere. It didn't result in an offer. Maybe you weren't very interested. Maybe you were really interested and you still are. Maybe you just met somebody at work and you might be interested in working with them. Then we should consider reconnecting, right? It's warming up our network again. Think about that.
Think about those people that you may have met during the year, maybe during the last 18 months, who would have had jobs or did have jobs that you were willing to, you wanted to talk about, you were interested in. And it doesn't mean that you would take those jobs necessarily. Like, this is not, I'm going to contact this person and they know that I want to take their job that they had before. That's not a way. It's like, this is about talking, having an interview, and discussing the job again, right? It still might not be a good choice for them or for you, but it's about going back to them and having the conversation again. But before you do that, get your list of people first and then go look at the news about their company and their job listings. So even though the economy is doing well, that doesn't mean that it is doing well for everybody. It's a bit like a lake that has, you know, when you swim in a lake and you get it in the edge and it's nice and warm and then you swim out a bit and you find a cold spot, you're like, oh, and then you swim a bit more and it gets warm again, right? There's cold spots and hot spots. Well, that's what the economy or the job market is like. There's cold spots and hot spots. And it may be that the person that you met that you really want to talk to again about having another job is in a cold spot. So you need to make sure first that the company that they work for, or the company that you're interested in, is doing well and has open jobs in the kind of areas that you're interested in. It doesn't have to be specifically the right job, but it needs to be in the area that you're interested in. There's no point in going back to someone who then says, you know what, we laid off 300 people last week. Like, that just makes you look stupid and it wastes your time and theirs.
Right.
So the first thing is to do some research to find out, are they doing well? Are they hiring?
You don't have to reach out. You know, it doesn't have to be super formal. An email is fine, although a phone call or a voicemail would be better. It takes more weight, or it holds more weight because it takes more effort. And all you have to do is say something like this, right? John, this is Claire. I interviewed with you in January for the role that you had for sales associate. I noticed an article in Sidewalks or Acme that Acme is expanding into Texas, and I thought you might need additional sales associates. I was really impressed by Acme's commitment to their customers. And if you do have vacancies and think I might be a fit, I'd love to talk to you about it. I'll send you an updated copy of my resume by email. And if you'd like to talk to me on the phone, you can reach me at this number and then repeat the number, which you guys probably noticed isn't a super long email, right? It's
voicemail. Yeah.
It's not super long either of those things, right? But
yeah, exactly.
It's only about 30, 45 seconds of voicemail. And that means that it's not too long. And we are just trying to reconnect. We're trying to warm that contact back up in case they do have something for us, in case that leads to another opportunity. Because once we sent out that voicemail, the email, whatever it is, the phone call, then all we have to do is send over the resume and follow up once a week or once every 2 weeks until we hear back.
And this can be to the hiring manager that you interviewed with, or it can be someone else that you connected with in the company. It doesn't have to be someone who's actually hiring for the job that you want. Just someone that you felt a connection with.
Yeah, you never know where opportunities might come from.
Next up, work your network. Is there a career tools cast where we don't talk about networks? I don't know. If you've never kept up with your network, now is the time to start. One, because Confucius said, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago and the next best time is now. In other words, if you do it, if you haven't been doing it, start now, because in a 6 months' time, it's not going to be any easier and you're 6 months behind. And the other thing is, when the market is hot and you're working and you're reaching out to people in your network, you're more likely to get positive results. You're more likely to get people who are willing to talk or willing to have coffee or respond to your emails or whatever. And so that gives you some positive reinforcement of what you're doing, because most people don't like working. They don't like connecting with people in their network. I don't really know why. But part of it is because they're worried about a negative reaction. And so in a hot market, you're more likely to get a positive reaction. So it's a good time to do it. It'll encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
And working your network, all that means is making or remaking connections with people. That's all it means. It doesn't mean asking them for a job. You know, if people are in your town, ask them for a coffee or a lunch date and talk to them about their family, about industry changes, the people you both know, something interesting that you read about their company in the paper. Just have a social conversation. It's not about asking for a job. You don't say, hey, I'll buy you a coffee, and by the way, can I have a job? It won't work. It's uncomfortable for everybody. So instead, make it about, you know, we connected before. I was really interested in the things you were doing. I'm interested in hearing what you're doing now, what's new. I met so-and-so the other day and they were talking about this and I thought that would be interesting to you. It's just about making connections. It's just about warming the relationship. If you think about managers and one-on-ones, part of the reason we say do one-on-ones weekly is not because there's necessarily anything big to talk about each week. It's just because the repetition develops the relationship and makes a space for you to have conversations when you need it. And this is the same thing. The repetition builds a relationship. And then when there is either you want to ask for a job or they want to talk to you about a job, there's a space for you to do that.
Yeah. When we talk about this, if you're not doing this right now, just start right now, even if there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. Especially if there's nothing going
on. It's so much easier when you don't need anything to just feel yes. like you're just reaching out, you're just chatting. If this isn't something that you're focused on right now, guys, it's a good time to start, because you probably don't need anything. It really will feel like you're just reaching out, which is the purpose of this, but sometimes we don't feel that way and it makes it harder for us. But we have guidance on what you should say or write in our staying in touch examples guidance. So we have some casts and support there if you're looking for that. It's not the worst thing in the world to have not been in contact and to get in contact now. Again, it's easy if nothing's going on. And if you're looking for a new position, it's a little bit more awkward. But as long as you're clear that you're not asking them for a job, those interactions will go more smoothly. Right? It'll be a lot easier to reach out if you're just honest about, hey, I'm not asking you for a job. I'm reaching out. I might be looking, but I might be looking in the future. And I'm just checking in.
So for example, you might leave a voicemail that sounds like this. Hey Laura, it's Mark. I hope this finds you well. You might have seen I was laid off from Satellite Co, but I promise that's not why I'm calling. I just have some time on my hands and I'm spending some of it catching up with old friends. If you have time, I'd love to have a coffee or a chat sometime in the next few weeks. I regret that I haven't kept in touch better and I'd really love to know what's going on with you and your family. Make it light and breezy, and it's not as awkward as you expect. Now, the next part of this is the maths part, and I'm notoriously bad at math, but we're going to try and explain it. So the next part is look for well-paying jobs, which might seem really obvious. Like, why would you not look for a well-paying job? But there's a well-paying in a specific way that in hot markets will help you when the economy contracts, because it will, because as we said, they always do. So what you need when we say a well-paying job is a high salary, but not necessarily a high bonus. So we'll try and do the math here and try and explain it out loud. If you have a license and you can read the show notes, it's probably easier to read the show notes because math is hard to explain. So in December, you are offered a job. Now, you know that we're in a hot market and eventually the market will contract. And let's say you have two offers in December and you have job A has a $100,000 salary and a bonus of $25,000. And job B has a $110,000 salary and a bonus of $15,000. So the sum total of both of them, the first year of revenue, the first year of income, assuming that you get the whole bonus, is $125,000 for both jobs. Now, let's say it's a year from now, the market crashes, bonuses are rescinded, you don't get a bonus, and pay rises are only 1% for the next 5 years, which actually for some jobs in a bad economy, they can go backwards. But let's say that the pay rises are 1% for the next 5 years. At the end of year five, with no bonus, remember, because we took that away, in job A, you'll have $104,000 salary. And in job B, you'll have $114,000. So it's $10,000 different just based on the salary that you began with. Because if you took job A with the lower salary and the higher bonus, they take the bonus away. Then when you start adding those 1% over the years, it doesn't come to as much as if you started on a higher salary at $110,000 and you compound the 1% over the 5 years. In fact, even if both jobs continue to pay the bonus, you would still be better off with job B because of the original salary that you're compounding is higher. You know, we're using a low number for pay rises and so the numbers aren't terribly far apart. But, you know, if we were wrong and the economy stayed hot and pay rises were 5% and you got your bonus for the next 5 years, at the end of year five, job A would be 146 a year and job B would be 148, which is only $2,000 difference, but it's $5,000 over the 5 years. And again, we're using numbers that are fairly close together. We're using fairly low raises and fairly low bonuses. But you always want to get a higher salary and a lower bonus, all other things being equal, because the salary compounds when you get percentage pay rises, but the bonus does not. And for companies, they want to do the opposite. It's better for them to give you a one-off bonus that's a higher number, because the next year they don't have to pay you that again. Whereas if they pay you a salary, when you get a pay rise and it's a percentage pay rise, they have to pay that on the salary that they originally brought you in on. So it's always better to have a higher salary and a lower bonus. But particularly if you think that the economy is going to contract, because bonuses are almost certainly going to disappear, the percentage pay rises will go down. And you need the highest number possible to be compounding on.
The percentage thing, I think, is the most important part for people to keep in mind. The math at the beginning might be equal in terms of the sum. And the sum is not the thing that's going to carry us forward. It's the percentages that need to be considered for the future. And you're right, we are talking about small numbers in terms of differences between the comparisons. And I don't know about y'all's experience, but in some cases, you know, an extra $2,000 a year is a lot. It affects our quality of life in a lot of ways. The thing that's important is that we consider our percentages going forward in the future. So while the sums might be the same at the beginning, it's those percentage changes over time that are really going to affect us for the long term in terms of salary and pay.
And if anybody's confused and they want to post on the forums, because there's bound to be people better at math than I am on there who can explain it. So that's kind of well-paying. We're looking for well-paying jobs, but we're also looking for jobs in upcoming industries and locations. So what does that mean? Like I said, it's like the lake that has hot spots and cold spots. There are hot areas of the economy and hot areas of the country. And there are cold areas. So, for instance, in 2017, North Dakota, saw a 2.2% GDP decline. In other words, overall, jobs paid less, or there were fewer jobs in North Dakota by about 2% over the previous 3 years. So if you were in North Dakota, you were not in a good employment market. And the fastest growing industry in North Dakota, which wasn't growing fast enough to overcome all the other ones, is information. And yeah, Kansas grew over the 3 years, only a little bit, but Kansas overall was growing. The economy was improving. And the fastest shrinking sector of the economy in Kansas was information. So Kansas was doing better overall, but the information sector was doing worse. In North Dakota, they were doing worse overall, but the information sector was doing better. So you have to look at both where you are and the industry to see which area you want to go into in terms of like places that you think the economy will continue to grow. It's not enough to say, oh, I want to move out of North Dakota because it's not doing well, or I want to move to Kansas because it's doing better. If you're in the information sector, those would be bad choices. You want to do the opposite. And all of these are official government terms for industries and areas. They may not match what we use in normal conversation because they're very specific statistical things, but still, it's enough to give you an overall idea. And this doesn't just go for the States, it goes for everywhere. Even in the UK, there's times when London isn't growing and Birmingham or Manchester are, even though most people go down to London thinking that they would get a better job. But in London, the cost of living is super high too. So you could get a better job with a higher salary, but your cost of living is higher and therefore you're not better off than living in Manchester or Birmingham, apart from the fact that Manchester and Birmingham are in the north, where I would not live. If you're thinking about your future and you're thinking about economies growing and contracting, you have to have detail. You can't just take, you know, read the headline. And there's something called the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I think, in the UK, in the US. They have tons of data on this stuff. So do the federal banks in the UK. The Department of Work and Pensions has information. The Department of the Checker, the Department of the Exchequer has information like that. And there's bound to be something comparable if you're not in those two countries. So you really need to know the detail because you don't want to switch jobs and then find, oh, I just switched to an industry or an area that's in decline. Mm-hmm. And I could have switched to somewhere that's doing better.
Absolutely. You need to know about the economy, guys. It's important. Even if it doesn't seem like it affects us, it does.
Right.
And our last piece of guidance today is to remain vigilant for opportunities. Opportunities don't always look as you expect them to look. And this really goes back to the question we asked right at the beginning of our cast. If someone came up to you tomorrow and offered you twice your current salary for the same job and hours, would you at least want to have that conversation? We want to make sure that we're paying attention, that we're watching out, and that we continue to do that as changes happen in our industry, in our area. You know, it's keep a weather eye out, right? Read the news, read the journal, read articles about what is happening in your profession, maybe articles from your professional association. Actually read what people are posting on LinkedIn and Facebook. If there's an opportunity to connect or to help or to join in or to find out more, take the opportunity, find out. Get involved in those conversations. It's really easy to be complacent when things are going well and the weather is nice, but winter's coming. And you will wish for those warm relationships, for those opportunities and those possibilities out there in the world.
Currently, we're in a hot market and it will probably last. Some of the economists say we're ready to turn, probably won't turn in the next 3 months, but maybe towards the end of next year. You need to be A, aware that it's a hot market, make your choices now, take advantage of it now. And be wide open to the fact that it will disappear. It will become a cold market. And the choices you make now will make a difference to how well you weather the cold weather. It's important to make informed choices and well thought through choices, and not just do the first thing that comes to mind, or not just coast on the current, because it'll bash you on the rocks eventually.
Absolutely.
That was a lot of metaphors. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more guidance.